Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Prague State Attorney Pavel Šaro, who halted the investigation into suspected EU subsidy fraud involving Prime Minister Babiš, has said he did not come under any political pressure in making the decision. Václav Marhol's film, The Painted Bird, has been selected to represent the Czech Republic at the US Academy Awards. And a passenger on an intercity bus here in the Czech Republic took the wheel to prevent a disastrous crash. Prague State Attorney Pavel Šaro, who halted the investigation into suspected EU subsidy fraud involving Prime Minister Andrej Babiš and members of his family, has said he did not come under any political pressure in making the decision, although at first the media pressure surrounding the high-profile case was considerable, he said. In an interview for Czech Radio, State Attorney Šaro said work on the case had been intensive but standard in every way. He said the reason why he had halted the case was that there was simply not enough evidence to indicate criminal activity on the part of those charged. His superior, Chief Prague State Attorney Martin Erazim, upheld Šarok's decision a few days later. That decision may still be invalidated by the Supreme State Attorney Pavel Zeman, who has 3 months to make a decision. President Miloš Zeman is to meet with Prime Minister Andrej Babiš at Lány Chateau on Monday evening to discuss topical domestic and foreign policy issues. In addition to next year's budget and the country's presidency of the Visegrad Four, the talks are expected to cover President Miloš Zeman's official visit to Serbia last week, where he said he would discuss the possibility of renouncing the Czech recognition of an independent Kosovo with Czech top officials. Both the Czech Prime Minister and Foreign Minister have since said they see no reason for the Czech Republic to change its stand on Kosovo. Václav Marhol's film The Painted Bird has been selected as the Czech Republic's official Oscar entry in the International Feature Film category. The Czech Film and TV Academy announced its decision on Monday, saying the film had been selected from a short list of 10 entries. The Oscar nominees will be announced on January 13th of 2020. The regional court in Hradec Králové has found 3 people guilty of fraud in connection with manipulated public tenders for the reconstruction of the national stud farm in Kladruby. They were served hefty fines and in one case a suspended sentence. 22 people were charged altogether in the case that involved 5 construction firms. The verdicts are not yet legally binding. The National Stud Farm in Kladruby nad Labem is one of the oldest establishments of its kind in the world and is home to the oldest indigenous Czech horse breed, the Kladruber. The passengers of an intercity bus narrowly escaped a disastrous crash as the bus driver collapsed and fell out of his seat on the busy highway on Monday morning. One of the passengers promptly jumped behind the wheel and drove the bus safely to the nearest petrol station. Witnesses say the driver fainted and was thrown from his seat as the bus swerved and hit the guardrail on the roadside. Police have commended the passenger for his fast response and courage. There were about 5 people travelling on the bus at the time of the incident. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. Tuesday should bring overcast skies and rain, with day temperatures ranging between 14 and 18 degrees Celsius. Moravia could see afternoon highs reaching 21 degrees. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news. You are listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Republic has big ambitions in the field of artificial intelligence. We'll tell you more, and we'll talk to artist Petr Sis about his exhibition on flying and other dreams currently underway at Prague's Docks Gallery. Later on, poet and publisher Martin Reiner takes us on a tour of some of his favorite spots in his native city of Brno. Stay with us for all that. The The Czech Academy of Sciences hosted a two-day solar conference focused on ethics in the field of artificial intelligence last week. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš took this opportunity to reiterate his belief that artificial intelligence is a major opportunity for the Czech industry, and the government is hoping to secure the establishment of an EU Centre of Excellence for Artificial Intelligence in the country. Tom McEncrow reports.
Aside from Germany, France and the Scandinavian countries, the Czech Republic is currently one of the favourites for the coveted position of holding one of the European Union's four centres of excellence in the field of AI. The Prime Minister has been putting a lot of emphasis on the need for the Czech Republic to make the most out of the digital revolution and become an international leader in the field of innovative technologies. Speaking at the Solaire conference on Thursday, he touched on this again, stating that it was especially important for the country to develop artificial intelligence in the country's industry due to the current Czech labour market, which suffers from very low unemployment. The Prime Minister also said that with over 500 scientists specialised in AI, the country has major potential in the area. It is not the first time that Mr. Babiš has spoken boldly on the topic of artificial intelligence and digitalisation. In January, the government presented its innovation strategy until 2031, which is titled Czech Republic, the Country for the Future. It lays out an ambitious 12-year plan for the country to become one of Europe's innovation leaders. One of those who worked on the strategy is Michal Pěchouček, a professor at the Czech Technical University and the chief technological officer at Avast, who is an international authority in the field of artificial intelligence. He says the bold idea does actually have potential.
I actually do believe that the Czech Republic can become competitive and relevant in the areas that are important for the future of the country if funds are appropriately directed. And, you know, in my opinion, in the field of AI, automation, security, Czech Republic has got an opportunity to become very competitive.
The Czech Republic has already showed itself as a capable contributor to innovative research when it comes to AI, according to Mr. Pěchouček. He says that, for example, in the field of developing driverless cars, the Czech Technical University collaborates on research with the US automobile giant General Motors. It is not only in the field of research the Czech Republic apparently has potential. Mr. Pěchouček, who is also a co-founder of a number of successful AI startups, says that he has been surprised by the establishment of several Czech AI businesses in the past couple of years. However, he says that more needs to be done to motivate potential Czech entrepreneurs in the field, who tend to go straight into large corporations rather than focusing on creating their own innovative business. According to a statement made earlier this year by Trade and Industry Minister Karel Havlíček, the final decision about where the European AI Centre of Excellence will be located is going to be made in the first quarter of 2020. The plan is for the centre not to be a single structure, but rather an interconnected hub of research and industrial centres.
Tom McEncrow with that report. Moving on now, Petr Sis on Flying and Other Dreams is one of the exhibitions of the year in Prague. It places in a fresh context five books focused on freedom by the US-based author and illustrator, including The Wall, Growing Up Behind the Iron Curtain, The Three Golden Keys, and Robinson. The show was conceived by the team of Michaela Šilpochová, Leoš Válka and Ivana Brátková at Venue Docs. And at the opening, Ian Willoughby asked Sis what he had made of their approach.
Well, I'm really impressed. I mean, I didn't expect this. I didn't know what to expect. The thing is, we spoke with Leoš for years about books, about education, about kids. And it was never right concept how to do it. And we were talking about some map of the world. But it was like sort of shallow. It was like go to some exotic island. And now with the whole change of media and how the children approach the world, so I sort of gave up on it. I didn't know how to solve it. And obviously he didn't give up on it. And he was thinking about it. And all of a sudden he came up with this idea. He said it's going to be films and animation and blown-ups. And sort of only when I came here I realized what's the connecting factor. And I'm pretty humbled by that. In the way, I agree with it because I always try to have this subliminal or subversive message of freedom, blue skies, blue seas. But I'm really very impressed what they did.
In a couple of months, we'll be celebrating and marking the 30th anniversary of the Velvet Revolution. What are your strongest memories of, I guess, flying back to Prague after the revolution happened?
Well, my strongest memories are about not flying to Prague, because we came here. It was my first visit with the American passport in September of 89. And I came with my girlfriend, wife-to-be, and we took the walk in Nerudova outside of our house. And I was telling her, it's a warm September evening, nobody's nowhere. And all of a sudden, we would see all these people in fog walking with the backpacks and suitcases. And they ask in German, where is the Bundesrepublik Boychev? And in no time, we were a leading group of 60 people up Nerudova to Petsinska Sady. And from behind the bushes were more and more people coming. And I thought, this is insane. This, something must happen. Somebody will come. This cannot go well. And we brought them all the way to the West German embassy. They all got in. I would be very curious what happened to them since. And then we experienced this with Terry. It was somehow in the air, like Hungary, it was coming. But I didn't realize we had to go back to New York. I had some job. There were news. I got three TV sets. I borrowed two TV sets, and I had like all the networks in that time with like what's happening. And I, till today, I feel sorry I missed the actual Wenceslas Square and the event. And first time I went back was only after Havel's government came to New York. And that was the first government when people with long hair, and they were like Kotsap and Joska Skalnik and Magori Rose. They were all like part of this group. And I remember when we had a beer, we had two beers, we went to CBGB's, and the evening was progressing. I gave them my children's books for their kids, which they left behind. And they said, hey, do you want to be like ambassador to Kenya? Or then later on, they said, do you want to be head of the... I said, no. So it was the time when I could have actually got some political post, and I didn't.
In the exhibition here, there's one section dedicated to your book, The Wall. Mm-hmm. And you were saying during the guided tour for journalists that the book started selling more sometime after the book came out. Why was that?
It wasn't more. It was like it was selling. It was very highly awarded and recognized book in many countries. But as every book, I mean, has got its time, and the time people were forgetting about the Cold War. But then with the Russian aggression, with Putin, with Ukraine, with Crimea, the book became very, very much the schools, the sales are up again, which in this case it's bad sign, I mean, because it's like I was talking about something which is gone and which hopefully will never happen again, yet lots of people now are drawing the link between Russia of today and the Soviet Union of the past.
Petr C. speaking there about his exhibition On Flying and Other Dreams. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, where it's now time for our main feature. Martin Reiner, who is 55, is a well-known figure in Czech literature. Recently, the writer showed Ian Willoughby around some of the spots in his native Brno that mean the most to him.
Brno's Martin Reiner is an award-winning poet and novelist. He also works closely with some of the Czech Republic's other leading writers as head of the publishing house Druhé Město, or Second City. Our tour of his Brno begins in the tree-lined district where Reiner grew up, Černá Pola, which is around half an hour's walk from the center of the Moravian capital.
We are standing in front of the house where I spent the first 7 years of my life, and it's still the place that I love so much, and then from time to time, not very often, but from time to time, I go here, just strolling around, and then it's always emotional because it's part of me. And when I see the front door, which are the same, exactly the same as they were, as they used to be 50 years ago, it's nice.
And how would you characterize this area of Brno?
Yeah, it's just a quiet part of the city. Here we have this big park where the children can play the games, and even still, if you look around, you would see a lot of cars. But I can remember the times where there were the streets with two, maybe three cars on it, and you could easily play the football on the street. You could play the hockey with the tennis. balls, and that was a great time for kids like ours.
Does this area retain much of the atmosphere of your childhood? I'm sure it's changed a hell of a lot.
With your mind eye, you can still see the place the same way as it looked 50 years ago. If you stand right in front of my birthplace, then just 200 meters on your right hand, there used to be the terminal station of tram, and there was the cigarette machine hanging on the wall with all those old brands of cigarettes that disappeared.
Probably it's good they disappeared. I'm sure it's all like Start and all these horrible cigarettes, no?
Even older than Start, it was Lipa, Partizanki, Maritza. My grandma used to smoke 60 cigarettes a day, and her favorite brand was Maritza.
We met a few minutes ago just outside the Kavarna Era, which is, I guess, a famous cafe in Brno. But you were telling me earlier that in your young days, it wasn't in such great condition as it is today.
Yeah, yeah. I can remember that it was degraded to the pub with not very good reputation. I cannot remember it because I was about 3 years old. But I know from my mom that it was the part of the family legend, this pub, as my stepfather used to go there regularly once a week on Friday to have a beer. And I do understand him quite well, because we have been living in a small one-room flat with not only my mom and my stepfather and my stepbrother, but also with the mother of my mom, which was quite a nervous older person. And it was a very tense atmosphere in the flat.
He went only once a week. I'm surprised he didn't go more often if there were so many people at home.
Yeah, he was a very serious man, and he wanted to be a family man. And I really would actually recommend him to go more often there. But he only once a week we went there. But my grandma hated it. He probably hated him. And once, when we got back from the pub, my grandma took this heavy metal ladle and started beating him all around, like really literally hammering him. And that was the end of my mother's second marriage, as he could not oppose to her mother. It's a terrible story, actually.
From Zemierelska Street in the Černá Pola district, Martin Reiner and I head downtown, specifically to the pub Nastojaka, which is on the square Jakubské náměstí. The pub is standing only, and in the summer months, crowds of drinkers gather in the square itself. Our guide says the hostelry's success reflects a general upturn in beer culture in this part of the world.
Moravia was never the kind of a beer country as a Bohemia. It's not about that we are the wine country, but it's about something like the beer culture. And it hasn't been here before, but fortunately, last 5 years maybe, there are a lot of mostly quite small pubs with the excellent taste for beers, and those are the places where they can treat the beer the way it's needed to get the excellent results. This particular small pub, is just the part of the place, the center of a nightlife in Brno. Because now it's too early, but in 3-4 hours you would count up 200 people around this small square, being outside and having a drink and talking, having a fun. When you look around, you can see so many bars and pubs and restaurants one by one here, and I love it.
When you say it's really busy here with hundreds of people, what kind of people come here to Nastojaka?
The young people, of course, but there is a change and there is a difference when you compare it with 10 years ago. Nowadays, here are much more foreigners than it used to be. That's probably the biggest difference. Probably half of the people around would speak English or Spanish, and that's something new for Brno.
Also, something that's unusual, I think, is the fact people stand here in this pub. We were just inside. I didn't see any seats. How does that affect the pub? How does it change the atmosphere when people aren't just sitting in the corner or at one table and not moving all night?
Well, that's almost the philosophical question. I'm not sure that I'm able to give you the right answer.
Well, I would expect that people would maybe speak more to strangers, have more interaction with people they don't know, because typically at a Czech pub that never happens.
Yeah, you're right. The people are mingling. They are in much closer connection with the other people. They are actually sitting on the sidewalk one by one.
Well, there seem to be a lot of apartments around here. Don't the local people mind that there are hundreds of people here in the street drinking?
Yeah, fortunately, we are behind the church. There are not many people in the evening and during the night. There are actually not so many people living in the flats around this square, but well, of course, from time to time there is someone who doesn't like it so much.
I've been hearing a lot in recent years about how Brno has improved, how there are more places to go, more cafes, more cool spots. Why do you think it's been happening in recent years?
Yeah, I think there are two main reasons. One of them is the exceptional constellation of politicians at the city hall, because there are so many young boys like making the politics in Brno from 2014 to 2018. The second reason is, of course, the economic prosperity, and those two things hand in hand are changing the things in Brno.
The final stop on our journey around Martin Reiner's Brno is Petrov, a rocky outcrop whose cathedral towers above the city. The tiny district is also connected with the famous Brno poet Ivan Blatný, who was the subject of Reiner's most ambitious and successful project to date, the 2014 novel Básník, or Poet.
Here is the cathedral of St. Peter and Paul, and it's commonly called Petrov, and it's the same magnificent and most prominent feature of the city. And actually, that's why I use the name for my first publishing house when I started with it in 1992. Then 14 years ago, I changed the name to Druhé Město. And I love the place because near is the other flat I've been living in my childhood times. And it's a beautiful, big house, which is sort of famous because the Haas brothers used to live there.
Who were the Haas brothers?
Yeah, there was the Hugo and Pavel. They were Jews, of course, and one of them was a famous actor and director and the cocaine addict.
That was Hugo. He was the big film star.
Yeah, he was a big film star. And the other one was a composer. And, well, here, just a couple of meters from the place we are standing right now, are famous staircase that takes place in one of the most beautiful poems of Ivan Blatný. And it means this is the heart of historical city, Brno.
And does this place mean a lot to Brno residents? Is it something that's significant to people in the city?
Yeah, I'm sure it is. It's probably the first place where the city, later called Brno, were based on.
Obviously, you have devoted a lot of interest and attention to Ivan Blatný. Are there many traces of Brno in his poetry?
Yeah, definitely. His second book is called The Melancholic Walks, and all those walks are the walks around Brno. And actually, I personally think that he created the Brno that never existed. But it is the city that will survive in minds of the people living here. And it's probably more real city than the one that existed 70 years ago.
Your publishing company, successful publishing company, Druhé Miesto means second city. For you, what are the advantages and disadvantages of living and working in the country's second city?
If I would move the publishing house to Prague, that I could do, I probably could meet with my authors, with the important people in the Czech literature daily in the pubs and stuff like this, which is important because you are creating the real personal relationships and stuff like this, which is a sort of advantage. But the other side of the same subject is that Brno is much more quiet place where you can be yourself much more than in Prague, I think. And maybe that's why the last almost 30 years my publishing house is still recognizable. It's still significant in some specific way. And actually 80% of my authors are living in Prague. And we are such a small country that this doesn't make a big difference. But I think being here in Brno, living here in Brno, means you can be much more yourself. That's the most important thing.
Martin Reiner taking you around his favorite spots in Brno. And I'm afraid that's all from us for now. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you, as always. And of course, you can follow Radio Prague International on Facebook and Twitter as well. This is Daniela Zarová saying thanks for listening and take care.